For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, a county councillor in Cork has called for harsher penalties for those found to be intoxicated in public and those who are begging aggressively. Councillor Shane O'Callaghan is his name. Fine Gael councillor is with me now. Shane, you're welcome to the show. So what is it that you're looking for?
Basically, I'm a city councillor. I've called on Cork City Council. I've put down a motion calling on Cork City Council to call on the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, to consider increasing the maximum sentence for threatening, abusive or insulting behaviour in a public place from 3 months imprisonment, which is the maximum at the moment, to 1 year imprisonment. Increasing the maximum sentence for intoxication in a public place from a fine, there's no imprisonment for that, no matter how many times you commit it at the moment, to 1 year imprisonment. And increasing the maximum sentence for aggressive begging from 1 month imprisonment to 1 year imprisonment. And also to consider introducing mandatory minimum sentencing for various public order offences where there's been repeated offending within a 6 month period.
Okay.
Because the situation, Kieran, and why I'm calling for this is because, look, Cork City Centre is the heart of our city and our county. It's somewhere where local people and tourists should enjoy going to visit. And at a bare minimum, Kieran, it's a place where people should be able to feel safe. But over the last number of years, Cork City Council or Cork City Centre has become unrecognisable due to antisocial behaviour, open drinking and drug take, aggressive begging during daylight hours. Like, I have an office on Shear Street in the city centre, and I see it every day. And the behaviour that's happening on the streets of Cork City Centre every day is having a hugely detrimental effect on city centre businesses, on our local tourist industry, and on people who are just going about their daily business, shopping and working in the city. And look, Kieran, that's not tolerated. If you go to other European cities, you don't see the sort of stuff that's this sort of carry on happening at all. And if it's not tolerated there, it shouldn't be tolerated in Cork or in any other city or town in Ireland for that matter. I know it's, you know, there's serious issues with antisocial behaviour in other towns. For instance, there was problems in Carrigaline recently. Like Dublin is probably arguably worse than Cork, Dublin city centre. So it's, in my view, it simply cannot be allowed to continue.
Okay.
And the size of action needs to be taken. And just in terms of, just like, the problem at the moment is, look, the Gardaí do a fantastic job, right? They you know, there's been extra deployment to Gardaí on the streets of Cork city centre in recent months. And look, they're more visible. But like, my heart goes out to them because what they do is they, you know, arrest a lot of these individuals, take them before the courts. And then because, you know, it's what, a maximum of 1 month for aggressive begging. In reality, that's
what's aggressive begging?
Aggressive begging is basically begging which involves harassment, intimidation, assault, threats or obstruction. So it's not just someone sitting on the side of the road and just asking.
But sorry, if it involves assault, the crime is assault, isn't it? It's kind of what, Section 4 of the Non-Fatal Offences Against the Person Act. What are you bringing in aggressive begging
section
for?
Section 3, but like assault could be Section 2 assault, which is coming upon someone, you know, getting in their personal space. That's Section 2 assault. I suspect you've experienced it, Kieran. You know, in reality, aggressive begging, as far as I'm concerned, is you're trying to go about your daily business and someone is harassing you. They're coming upon you saying, please give me something. You say no, they follow you around the place. They get in your way. That's aggressive begging.
Okay.
And a lot of it is actually being perpetrated, the Gardaí would tell you, by organised criminal gangs, which is why there is a separate offence for, which is more serious, for directing begging. But the problem at the moment is there's no consequences. The Gardaí round them up, bring them before the court, and because the sentences are so low, they're back out in the streets again the following day. And they're, you know, it's a relatively small number of individuals, and they're causing havoc in Cork city centre. They're affecting people's livelihoods. I mean, businesses that are there for decades and have, you know, would have spent years building up businesses to create a lot of employment are practically distraught at this point.
Well, let me bring in Fergus Finlay, the columnist with the Irish Examiner. Fergus, do we need to do something about this scourge of aggressive begging?
Well, it must be a scourge confined to Cork. Now, I can't claim to have been in Cork and walked around Cork very much recently. I lived there for years and years. I live in Dublin now. I walk around Dublin City all the time. I have never seen aggressive begging anywhere, ever. Occasionally, find people kind of being a bit importunate, kind of, you know, putting the hand out and trying to stop you and so on. But it's generally because of need, because of want. Yes, your councillor is correct that there are a couple of gangs that send people out to do this begging, and they're extremely unfortunate people, because if they come back without a full bucket, they're perfectly able of getting a beating from gangs that sent them out in the first place. And I'd be totally in favour of cracking down on them. But where I live, there are people who make in this, they make in this, hungry because they've nowhere to live. And the funny thing is, they're at a terrible loss nowadays, because ever since COVID, people don't carry coin. You can't offer them a card, or you offer them plastic. So they sit there day after day, often in the absolutely miserable. And I have never, ever, ever seen any of them. I've never in my life encountered any of them being hostile, aggressive, dangerous, feeling threatened by any of them. It just has never happened to me. So maybe I just don't look prosperous enough or something, but I've never heard of anybody else who's had that experience either. So if it is the kind of problem that the councillor says it is, I think it's confined to certain areas of Cork. And I doubt if even that is the case. I think that there's an awful lot of exaggeration going on here, to be perfectly honest.
Shane, are you guilty of exaggeration?
Absolutely not. And Fergus admitted himself that he hasn't been to Cork for a while. I'd encourage him to come and visit Cork. Because I'm in, as I say, my office is near the city centre. I'm in the city centre practically every day, and I actually experience this. And what's more so, I'd encourage Fergus, I'm a public representative as well. I encounter business owners all the time, and they have plenty of stories to tell. So I'd encourage Fergus to talk to any of the business people or the people who work in the city centre.
But I do that. I do that.
Shane, do you suspect, can I ask you a question, Shane? Do you suspect that there would be fewer people begging, or aggressively begging, however you want to describe it, on the street if we didn't have the housing crisis we had, if homeless services were better, if mental health services were better and addiction services were better?
Look, of course, that's part of it. And I do sympathise. Well, it is part of it. I do sympathise with the situation a lot of people concerned find themselves in. And I agree that more homeless services, addiction services are part of the solution. But personal responsibility has to come into it as well. OK, and a lot of the people involved in this already are housed, or they already are living in homeless accommodation. They have access to addiction and they choose not to engage in it. And, you know, because you have an addiction issue, or, you know, you're down on your luck.
Yeah.
Doesn't give you a free pass to break the law again and again.
What do you base that on?
And what am I basing what on?
Your claim that most of these people who are guilty of the aggressive begging that you want to crack down on are living in social housing and have been offered addiction services but have turned them down.
Well, I work in the criminal justice system myself. So I see that, do you know what I mean? In my experience, there's very few residential addiction services. And apart from that, then it's up to yourself, essentially, when it comes down to it. You can be encouraged in, but it's essentially up to yourself.
I accept that reality, but you're saying that these are the people who are aggressively begging.
Yes.
Okay. But it's either one thing or the other. There's either inadequate addiction services, or there's loads of them and people are turning them down. And actually, the problem is the first thing. There are not adequate addiction services. I mean, I've worked in this area for years and years and years. I'm a thousands and thousands of families over the years who, you know, are in a desperate situation. I've never met anyone who wants to go and beg. I've never met anyone who wants to put their hand out. People want to hold their heads up high. They don't value themselves when they're forced to sit on the street with the battered old paper cup in front of them, hoping for the goodwill of passers-by. It's an awful way to live. And they shouldn't be stigmatised even further by being described as criminals and a threat to ordinary, decent people. They're not. They're not. If anything, we're a threat to them.
I have to respectfully disagree with Fergus there. And with respect, it's easy for someone like Fergus to lecture the rest of us about compassion and the right thing to do.
I'm not lecturing.
It doesn't affect you. If your livelihood was at risk because of what is going on in Cork and in other cities and other towns day in, day out, I suspect you would have a very different attitude. Unless you're an exceptional human being altogether. And look, you speak about compassion. And by the way, I do have compassion for the people involved as well. But I also have compassion for the people whose businesses, many of which took years to build up, are under threat because of what is happening in the streets of the city every day. I have compassion for those whose livelihoods are dependent on the tourist industry in Cork, which is in decline because of what is happening. And there should be compassion as well for the shoppers and tourists and workers who want to go about their daily lives without being harassed or made to feel afraid. And this is a major issue in Cork, Fergus. You might disagree with me. I live here. I work here. I'm a city councillor here. And I'd encourage you to come and visit Cork and talk, experience it for yourself and talk to the businesses in our city centre or talk to the shoppers, because people are actually stopping. They've stopped coming to the city centre because of what is going on.
That is an experience
being completed here.
That is an experience, Fergus, that is probably echoed in other parts of the country as well. The perception, whether it's reality or not, but the perception that city centres are less welcoming places.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that, Ciarán, but I don't think it's a consequence of begging, to be absolutely honest. And by the way, I don't think I ever used the word compassion. I mean, there are some terrible problems in the inner city. I work in communities that are beset by antisocial behaviour, that are beset by drugs and by violence occasioned by alcohol abuse and other forms of abuse. Begging is the least of their trouble, the absolute least of their trouble. And of course, if the city centre is a dangerous place, then we have to double and treble the resources available to police it. But for God's sake, let's not make people who are absolutely down on their luck, people who have absolutely nothing at all, the scapegoat for all our problems.
Shane,
I'm not saying that it should be made the scapegoat for all of our problems, but as I say, personal responsibility has to come into it at some point. And I'm not saying, oh, lock them up because they're aggressively begging once or twice or whatever. Yeah. But if they're consistently doing it again and again and again, and it's actually interfering with other people's daily
lives.
Where
they go, Shane?
And people's employment, then what do you mean where they go? They could go to prison for a while and maybe they'd stop
doing
it.
What prison?
I mean, I do think there should be there. Like Fergus seems to.
No, Shane,
that,
stop. Forget Fergus. I asked you what prison.
Everybody is a victim. You know. Do you know? I mean, there has to be consequences.
Yeah, Shane. What prison?
Cork prison.
There's room in Cork prison, is it, to lock up people who are begging for a year?
I never said to lock them up for a year. By the way, I said that a minimum if it was repeated. I said a maximum.
Well, you're certainly calling for stiffer sentences. There is capacity in Cork prison.
I'm saying a maximum sentence of a year.
Is there spare capacity? Is there spare capacity in Cork prison to lock up for longer periods people who are guilty of aggressive begging, as you describe it, and public intoxication?
You'd have to talk to the governor of Cork prison.
Well, the answer is a resounding no, I think, from that silence, Shane. You know as well as I do, there is not.
Ciarán, the last time I looked at this, it cost about 80,000 a year to keep an individual in prison for a year. It's roughly around 80,000. Imagine if you want to lock up 10 people. Imagine investing 800,000 in better rehabilitation services, in better drug diversion services, in better community policing. For every one you lock up, there is a real potential to do something different, a real opportunity to do something different, and not to be scapegoating people who have absolutely nothing.
But again, that's assuming that people want to engage in the services. That's not always the case. I do work in the criminal justice system. It's not like I don't know what I'm talking about as well. And oftentimes people don't. They talk about, oh, we'll give them bail or whatever if they engage in a residential if they engage in a drug treatment program. And oftentimes they're back in court again before long. And you might say, well, that's not their fault. I think
sometimes it is their fault because they just don't care. And it and at some point, okay, there has to be, the word has to get out that it's not acceptable.
But you're advocating
again and again and again.
You're advocating it.
And there has to be some sort of consequence.
A fairly draconian response to
That's your opinion.
What you yourself
your
describe opinion. As the minority. Well, it is my opinion. I'm sorry, and I'm entitled to my opinion. Locking people up for a year because they
I never said a maximum sentence. A maximum sentence of a year. You know, you and I both know that no one ever gets the maximum sentence or anywhere near it.
And they don't serve it either, Shane, because there's not room in the prisons. I mean, this kind of it feels like this whole conversation is moot to a degree because we are turfing people out of prison early because we have nowhere to put them. And the idea that we're going to start locking people up for longer because they're drunk on the street, I mean, we'd all be ex-cons. At some level, I'd have to suggest.
Sorry, not, look, I'm not talking about, you know, someone who's, you know, falling out the door of the pub or the nightclub at 2 o'clock in the morning and, you know, is a bit unsteady on their feet. I mean, that's happened to most people at some point. I'm talking about people who in broad daylight are repeatedly intoxicated again and again and again. And more importantly,
addicts, I think, is who you're talking about. Anyway, Councillor Shane O'Callaghan, Fine Gael councillor in Cork City, Fergus Finlay, columnist for the Irish Examiner. Thank you both very, very much for joining me. 087 1400 106. David says, tell that councillor, stop tearing up the roads and stop taking away all the parking from residents for 10-minute drop zones. People live in the city. Have some consideration for once. Chris says, what a joke. A blue shirt politician calling for stiffer sentences when he knows there's no jail places and his party has done nothing about it. 1 year for public intoxication. We'd all be ex-convicts, as somebody else, echoing the point I made. Peter in Galway, he's in agreement though. It happened to me in Galway and Dublin very recently. Aggressive is the right word. Kieran, what the councillor suggests has been done to black people in America. Increasing sentences is just a way of cleaning up the streets of unwanted people, many of whom are addicts. If 3 months doesn't deter them, why would a year deter them? They can do little to help themselves. A deterrent is simply more police. That is from Barry in Kilkenny.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops a DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.